My name is Angie. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Angie.
I'm going to talk for 35, 40 minutes or so on the traditions as traditions in relationships. And I'm going to talk about the Al-Anon traditions, but they are very, very similar to the AA traditions. And then Chip is going to talk about
the electronic history
of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is really good. He was asked to do it because of all the controversy that arose over Zoom. And so he has done a phenomenal workshop, I think, that he's done several times. It's been very well received. So I'm going to start off talking about the traditions. The 12 Al-Anon traditions were adopted in 1952. And they tell how the traditions, as you know, talk about groups, where the steps talk about the individuals. Also, we can apply the traditions to families, to relationships, to friendships, to any kind of group setting. The unity of the Al-Anon Fellowship and perhaps its survival depends upon adherence to the traditions. Lois Wilson, the co-founder of Al-Anon, with a lot of help from Bill Wilson, her husband, spent a great deal of time working on adapting the 12 steps of the 12 traditions of AA into the 12 traditions of Al-Anon. She wanted the Al-Anon traditions to be as much like the AA traditions as possible. The traditions were sent out to Al-Anon groups to approve, as well as to many, many AA groups all across the country to approve. From our earliest days, AA and Al-Anon were closely connected, and the foundational instructions of our steps and traditions of Al-Anon are based in the AA Big Book and the AA 12 Steps and Traditions, along with our wonderful Al-Anon literature that expanded on these ideas. So, tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal progress for the greatest number depends upon unity. When we becomes me, and when me becomes we, this means that we believe that two are better than one. We keep our individuality within the group or within the family, but we use it for the good of the group or the good of the family. What is common welfare in Al-Anon? Personal growth, growth of the group, recovery, service work, understanding alcoholism, helping families of alcoholics, etc. Before I retired on my job, I supervised a lot of people, and so whenever there was a crisis, they would call me and say, what do I do? And I would tell them what to do. So when I got in recovery and I was working on that, I talked to my sponsor and I said, I don't know how to back off from being a controlling person on my job because they pay me to control things. And so she said, well, let's work on that. So we did. So what I started doing when people would call me and say, this is happening, what do I do? I would say, what do you think we need to do? And they would always tell me something. And if it was anywhere in the realm of any kind of possibility, I would say, that is a great idea. Do that and call me back and let me know how it went. And they would, and they would call me back. And if it was any kind of solution that made any kind of sense, I would say, great job. And then I started telling people in trainings, as long as you are abiding by the policies and procedures and mission statement of our organization, I'm going to back you. And I would. And you know what happened was I started getting a lot less phone calls about emergencies. Because people started feeling like that they could handle it and they knew what to do. And over time, I really felt good about that. And I felt bad about letting go of that control to start with. And I thought, if things are going to fall apart, we're going to have all these lawsuits and all this stuff's going to happen. But it didn't. It didn't. So it really helped me see that we can do things as a whole. It doesn't have to be one person deciding that we can do things as a whole. One of the things that Chip and I did in our marriage for a number of years, we don't have to do it so much anymore because it never comes up, but you know, we have what we call the 7-day rule. And what that means is, let's say that I do something on Monday that Chip doesn't like. Well, he has to the next Monday to say something about it. And after that, guess what? It's off the table. He can never, ever, ever bring it up. And so that means if 2 months later he does something I don't like on Tuesday, and I say something on Tuesday about it, he can't turn around and say, well, let me tell you what you did 2 months ago. No, I'm sorry. 7 days is gone. You see what I'm saying? The 7 days is gone. And that really helped me in our marriage, because I have a tendency, if you start attacking me, I want to attack back. So I'm going to have me some ammo to use, you know. And the ammo's gone. After 7 days, there's no ammo. And another thing that's really good about that is if Chip does something on Monday that I don't like, I know I have 7 days to respond. So that means I don't fly off the handle and say something right then, because I know I got 7 days. So I'll think about it and pray about it, and then I may talk to my sponsor about it. And you know, about 99% of the time, it's not worth it. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not valuable. I am. And it doesn't mean if it's not important that I'm not going to say something. I will. But it means I pick my battles. I choose my battles. I really think about it. I examine it. I look at it, you know. And that has really, really helped our relationship. If I'm wrong, I need to make amends. I need to find common ground. I need to look for ways to compromise. And I don't need to leave something unfinished. Because for me, if I leave it unfinished, it's going to gnaw at me and gnaw at me and gnaw at me. So I need to resolve it somehow. Some questions to ask for tradition one. Do I ask what you think only so I can prove why you need to think like I do? Am I a giver or a taker? How do I use silence in my relationships and in my group? Do I know how to fight fair? Am I a victim, a martyr, a child, a parent, a partner? Is it mine or ours? When Chip and I got married, he had a house in one town and I had a house in another town. And so his friends thought I was going to whisk him away to my town. And my friends thought he was going to whisk me away to his town. So we sold both our houses and moved to the beach. And that's how we have our house. We have our house because, you know, whichever house we had lived in, it would always be in my house or his house. So we have our house. In my opinion, there are many principles for every step and many principles for every tradition. So one principle for tradition one is unity, but of course there could be many others. All right, I got to go faster. Tradition two. For our group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. So if our leaders don't govern, who does? Our loving God does. For a long time in our marriage, Chip and I had a meeting periodically that we called Finances, Romances, and Circumstances. And we would sit down and talk about those three subjects. Finances, romances, and circumstances. We talk about our budget. We talk about where we were with the money. We would talk about our relationship with each other, you know, the love part of our relationship. Were we feeling appreciated enough? Were we doing enough, the two of us together? And our circumstances, which usually meant our families. Chip has had three children. His son is deceased, but he had three adult children, and I have one adult child, and we have grandchildren. So a lot of our circumstance stuff would evolve around our families. And so we would talk about those things and kind of see where we stood with it. How does God express himself in our relationships, in our family, in our groups? Since the whole purpose of Al-Anon is spiritual growth, the forms of government found in most organizations aren't necessary because our groups are supposed to be led by God. Members are drawn together by their common suffering, and this identity of experience levels differences in station of life and those kinds of things. So decisions get made most of the time in Al-Anon groups by group conscience. I'm assuming the same way in AA groups. You have group conscience. We can practice listening, kindness, treating others with respect, learning to value the minority opinion, learning to let go of the need to control, to dominate, etc. We talked a little bit about minority opinion last night at dinner. They were having a vote on having a new book, not a new big book, but a book written like the big book, but on a easier to understand level of grammar. Okay. And Chip and I have a friend that's a delegate for New Jersey, and he was telling us about that vote, and they were going to go vote, and he had gotten with all his delegate buddies, and they were all going to vote no. They did not want this new book, you know. And so they got to the meeting, and they were all ready to vote no. Well, they had time for the minority opinion. And he said these people stood up and started talking. There was a man there from Alaska, people there from other countries, and they started talking about the indigenous tribes, American Indians and Alaskans and Eskimos and all these people from other countries, and that they, it wasn't that they were not educated. They just didn't have opportunities to learn the way we have in this country. And so they're illiterate. They don't read very much. And they don't understand. And the people that were explaining the minority opinion said, we can't teach a whole race of people the English language and raise them up to our level. I think the big book currently is written on like a ninth grade level maybe. He said, we can't do it. And so we're trying to work with them and help them, but we don't have the tools that we need. And Jimmy said, we all changed our vote. He said, the minority opinion swayed us, and we all voted that, yes, we did want to have this new book. He said, there'll always be a big book. Nothing's going to replace it. It's always going to be what it is today. But we voted to have something else to help people that really could not understand the book the way it is written. So that's where the minority opinion really became important. In the Alcoholics Anonymous world. So, what to do if there's a problem in the group? As I'm sure y'all do in AA, we often will have somebody come in from the outside, help us with the group inventory if it's a serious problem, help us work through that together as a group and come up with some common solutions that we can all live with. Questions for position two, am I trustworthy? Do I say what I mean and mean what I say? You know, used to with my daughter, I'd say, if you do that one more time, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Well, she'd do it one more time, and I wouldn't, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I lied to her over and over and over and over. And I didn't realize for a long time, you know, I would talk about how sanctimonious I was, but I was lying to my child all the time, teaching her how to lie, you know. So do I say what I mean and mean what I say? Do I do my share or my share and your share? Am I a peacemaker at all costs? How do I hear God? People say, you know, how do you know it's God? How do I hear God? A principle of tradition two is wisdom. Tradition three, the relatives of alcoholics when gathered together for mutual aid may call themselves an Al-Anon family group. Provided that as a group, they have no other affiliation. The only requirement for membership in Al-Anon is that there be a problem of alcoholism in a relative or a friend. When we keep our focus clear and our group consistently Al-Anon, we as individuals can then seek whatever helps us in addition to Al-Anon. So, in addition to Al-Anon, our literature tells us that I can feel free to pursue whatever kind of help I want to, whether that's at a church or whether that's at a therapist or a doctor or whatever, I can feel free to pursue that. I am my own qualifier for Al-Anon. I have a set of behaviors and symptoms that I exhibit when I don't go to meetings. People ask me sometimes, we don't have much active alcoholism in our family right now, and they'll say, why do you keep going to Al-Anon? Well, because I live with me. That's why I go. The membership requirement for Al-Anon is that I know somebody. And I know lots of somebodies that have a problem with alcohol or another drug. Okay, because I love alcoholics, so I know a lot of them. So my membership requirement gets taken care of in that way. The basic requirement for a healthy relationship or group is a mutual desire to make it work and a willingness to be in the relationship. All right, let's see. I can create healthy boundaries for myself. Some of mine and Chip's boundaries for our home are we're an alcohol and drug-free home. Everybody's not just in recovery, but we have chosen to do that. I'm an Al-Anon. I can drink, but I know my family history of alcoholism, so I choose not to drink. And I grew up in an alcoholic home, so I just really don't want to be around it. So that's a rule we have for our home. That's a boundary that we set. I have a personal boundary. I'm not going to get hit physically by anybody. I grew up in that kind of environment, so I don't want that. I don't like that. I'm not going to do that. So we can have boundaries for ourselves that are healthy. Also, our 7-day rule, as I mentioned, is a boundary. We can talk about it for 7 days, but then it's off the table. Some questions to ask for this tradition are, what are the goals of my relationship? How important to me are trust and honesty in a relationship? Do I want to be in my current relationship? What are the goals for my group in 2023? What are the goals for my relationship in 2023? What am I doing that could harm my relationship? Am I lazy about my relationship? A principle of tradition three is desire. Tradition four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting another group or Al-Anon or AA as a whole. Chip and I are very independent people. He has an office in our home. I have a little area where I have my computer in our home. He has his AA group he goes to. I have my Al-Anon groups I go to. I don't go to his AA group. It's very rare that I would go to his AA group. He's not ever been to my Al-Anon group. But we do recovery things together. Like this weekend, we have some conferences we love to go to. We go to them together. So we have lives that are separate from each other, but we also have lives that are together sometimes, you know. And so we can bring that together. In Al-Anon, each group can manage itself however it chooses, unless it does something that affects another group or Al-Anon or AA as a whole. For instance, if my Al-Anon group decided we were going to put an ad on TV with all of us on there, and we were going to do a cheer for Al-Anon, and we were going to have our names, and you see what I'm saying? That we couldn't do that. We couldn't do that. Or we're going to go on there and say, vote for Susie for school board president. We couldn't do that, you know. Those things would not be good in the recovery world. So we have to be careful not to do that. We are each trusted to protect and preserve our fellowship. We're free in our group to decide what time we want to meet, what days we want to meet, but we're not free to say that for everybody. We're not free to change the 12 steps, for instance, in my group. We're not free to change the traditions in my group. We know that that's set by somebody else, and we've got to abide by that and follow that. And I will say there's a lot of comfort in that. We've been to meetings in a lot of different places in a lot of different countries. And almost all of them have the same format. And so you feel comfortable going, even though you're going to people you don't know and a place you're not familiar with. You feel comfortable going, even if it's in a different language, because you kind of know what they're saying. I worked with an Al-Anon group in Russia for a couple of years. We did it on Zoom. And they would say the 12 steps and traditions in Russian, but I knew what they were saying. And when they would open with the serenity prayer, and I knew that prayer, you know, even though it was in their language. So there's a lot of comfort in that. Tradition 5, each Al-Anon family group has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of AA ourselves, by encouraging and understanding our alcoholic relatives, and by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics. We don't have to wonder about our Al-Anon group purpose. It is stated clearly for us, to help families of alcoholics. Our individual purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and our fellows. Where God is, love will be. Many of us learn how to love in the Al-Anon program and then transmit that loving to our families. A lot of us learn how to be good family members in Al-Anon and then carry that out into the world. Or good workers in Al-Anon and then carry that out into the world. We do that by encouraging and understanding our alcoholic relatives. And by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics. I remember I talked to my mother one time about her drinking. And this was kind of funny because I had decided I needed to know, was she alcoholic or not, you know. And so she kept her liquor she used to keep it under where the sink was in that cabinet under there. But over the years it kept going down to other cabinets. So it was several cabinets. And so I started marking the bottles to see how much she was drinking. But see, what I didn't know was my daughter was stealing liquor out of those bottles, too. So I really wasn't getting a clear picture of that, you know. But the day I talked to my brother about it, you know, of course she got upset. And she said, I guess the only way I can show you I'm not an alcoholic is just to stop drinking. And I just kind of smiled at her. I didn't say anything. And, of course, she was drinking before the day was over, you know. So, but that was my one attempt. Giving comfort to families of alcoholics. We have a pamphlet that's called in Al-Anon, a merry-go-round named Denial. And it's my favorite Al-Anon pamphlet. It was there 33 years ago when I went to my first Al-Anon meeting, I guess, because I got one that's really, 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 really old, and then I have new ones today, too. So I really love it. And I also need to be very mindful that I am not part of a clique, and I'll tell you how that works. The first Al-Anon group I went to, there were a group of us that were together, and we were together for 20 years. And there was probably 7 of us in that core Al-Anon group. And then there'd be other people that would come in and stay a while or something like that. But there was 7 of us that were really core members. And, you know, we had to be really careful about that because we had our own language pretty much. You know, Debbie could say one thing and we'd all just die laughing because we knew what that related to something that had happened in the group that was really funny. And so somebody new coming in, you know, Debbie would say that one thing and we'd all laugh and they wouldn't get the joke. And so we had to really be careful about that. And I've really tried to remember that over the years, that when people come into a well-established group, you know, I really need to be mindful about that, because they're coming into a whole new territory, and they're already new and everything else. And here we all know each other, and we all know everybody, and they don't. And so that cliquishness, it's not anything that we intend to do. We didn't intend to do it in that group, but we really were kind of like a clique. That was just the truth. So we really had to fight against that when we would have new people come in. Some questions to ask. How do I express God's love in my relationships? What do I do when gossip starts? Do I truly believe in the spirit of rotation in my group? What have I done in the last month to help spread the good news of Al-Anon? What have I done in the last month? Do I really believe my troubles are of my own making? And a principle of Tradition 5 is purpose. Tradition 6, our Al-Anon family groups ought never endorse, finance, or lend our name to any outside issues, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary spiritual aim. Although a separate entity, we should always cooperate with Alcoholics Anonymous. So, while I am free to support any political candidate, organization, group, whatever I want to do outside of Al-Anon, I can't do it in Al-Anon. That's just the bottom line. Did have people done that during COVID? Yes, they have. It just blows my mind. You know, I never saw politics brought into the rooms until the last 5 or 6 years. Just blows my mind, you know. So it can happen, but it ain't supposed to happen. There's a tradition that says we don't do that. You know, I'm very careful to not even wear any kind of shirt that may even adopt a dog day. I mean, I'm careful not to wear nothing. You see what I'm saying? That's anything except recovery when I'm going to be part of recovery. I need to remember, in my recovery group, my primary spiritual aim is to be of service to God and my fellows every day in all my relationships. Remembering that control is not my spiritual aim, enabling is not my spiritual aim, nor is losing myself in another person my spiritual aim. All right. Some questions to ask. Am I equal spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally in my relationships? Do I take responsibility for my own needs in my relationships? How do I cooperate with Alcoholics Anonymous? And how do I cooperate with other groups in my district and other groups in my area? How do I cooperate with area assembly, for instance? Do I go to area assembly? Do I support them? Do I allow my friends the dignity to fail? And a principle of Tradition 6 is non-affiliation. Tradition 7. Every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Lois Wilson said, purse strings can become ropes that can choke us. This tradition applies at all levels of Al-Anon and AA, local groups, area, World Service, etc. You know, it's a well-known fact in Al-Anon that Al-Anon World Service exists because they print books. And so they lost a lot of money during COVID, so guess what they're doing? They're printing a new book, and they're going to have it for sale at the Al-Anon International Convention in a couple of weeks. That's where they're going to premiere it. So purse strings can become ropes that can choke us. So the money we contribute goes to help with rent, refreshments, group literature, sending representatives to district, area meetings, World Service. And we contribute in other ways as well. If we help set up the chairs, if we bring goodies to people, brought all kind of wonderful desserts in there, if we help somebody with a ride to a meeting, if we go to a meeting so that we're there for people that come to that meeting, if we call somebody that maybe hadn't been to a meeting 3 or 4 times, there's all kind of ways that we can contribute. When I was working with this group in Russia, they wanted to do a workshop, so we did a workshop, and I spoke on service, and another lady spoke on sponsorship. And so when I was talking about service, I talked about potluck dinners. And everybody brings the dish, and if you brought a dish, you were contributing, and that was your service work. Well, there were two interpreters, interpreting for us, and so they talked about that a long time, and they were laughing with each other. And so finally, one of them said, Angie, she said, we don't have potluck dinners in Russia, so we're trying to figure out how do we interpret this. So I said, okay, so they figured it out, and they interpreted it. So then about 2 months later, I guess it was, she called me on the phone. She said, I want to tell you that those ladies love the idea of potluck dinners, and they started doing that in Russia. So I thought that was the neatest thing. They had never thought about that as being service. They only thought of people with titles like group service representative, or they thought that was the only kind of service. But it's not. There are many ways to do service. Some questions to ask for Tradition 6. Am I able to talk with group people about anything? How am I of service in my Al-Anon group? Do I practice the silver rule, not doing for others what they can do for themselves? Do those I love have to be okay for me to be okay? Do I try to control in my group? When is the last time my group had a business meeting? A principle for Tradition 7 is self-support. Tradition 8, Al-Anon 12-step work should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. This tradition reminds us that we are hurting hearts helping hurting hearts, sharing our experience, strength, and hope with others. It is the only tradition that separates out a step, the 12th step, from anything else that's talked about in that tradition. Okay, let's see here. It's okay for us to seek outside help. It's okay for us to have special workers. Chip and I went and visited the World Service Office for Al-Anon in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and they have people there that are paid people that work for Al-Anon. One of them works, they have people that come in and, not interpret, but change the language from English to French or English to German, whatever's needed. They have people that work in corrections, that work with the correctional facilities. They have people that work in publicity, you know. So they have some people that are, the executive director for Al-Anon is a paid staff person that works there. They don't print any of the books on site in Virginia Beach anymore. They do it somewhere else, probably a foreign country. They print them somewhere else. But they still do the newcomer packets that we get. So the newcomer packets are done right there at the World Service Office, and they have people that stuff those and send them out to us when we ask to have them. I also think of the tapers and people like Damon that do this as being a special worker for roundups and conventions and stuff like that. Okay, that we don't pay them, but they, if they sell their CDs, they're able to make money, and which helps them be able to go somewhere else to the next place and do the same thing. So they're special workers. So we do have some special workers. Some questions to ask for Tradition 7. Can I give for fun and for free? Do I submit or surrender to God? There is a difference in submit and surrender. Okay. Do I inventory others? How am I practicing the principles in all my affairs today? And then a principle for Tradition 8 is volunteerism. Tradition 9. Our groups as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. There's very little organization. Many groups might have a secretary, some have a treasurer, some may have a program chairperson, and that's in Al-Anon, that's pretty much it most of the time. We do have a group representative, a district representative, but in our little individual groups, we have very few people that have those titles. And healthy relationships are usually guidelines for the relationship. For instance, one of our guidelines is that we have an alcohol and drug-free home, which I talked about already. My daughter, for many years, it's not so much today, but for many years, she wanted my relationship with her to be what I call light and fluffy. In other words, she didn't want us to talk about anything serious. She didn't want us to get any heavy issues. Well, I wanted to do that. You know, I love talking serious, and I love getting in there and talking about something and working it out and how you're feeling and all that stuff. No, she did not want that. And so if I tried to do that, I wouldn't hear from her for a while. You know? Grandchildren wouldn't be calling me on the phone for a while. So she trained me well. I became light and fluffy. And I can do light and fluffy. I can light and fluffy with the best of them. You know, I can talk about what watching on TV, the weather. I can do it so good. But, and I didn't know how. So she really helped me learn how to do something because I didn't know how to do that. You know, most of us that grew up in alcoholic homes, we are not about light and fluffy. Okay. We're about serious, you know. We're not light and fluffy. So it was a wonderful thing that she helped me learn how to be light and fluffy. So I can do that today. All right. But I also have friends that, boy, we can get serious with each other, you know. We can really talk about an issue and hash it all out and all that kind of stuff, and I love that. But Amanda taught me a lot about being light and fluffy. So some questions to ask for this tradition are, how do I serve in my group and relationships? Am I honest about my assets and liabilities? Do I understand that I do not have to accept unacceptable behavior? Do I want peace at any price? Do I know the difference between responsibility and authority? Do I accept more responsibility than I want? Am I always saying yes and thinking no? Okay. A tradition for a principle for tradition 9 is spirit of sacrifice. Tradition 10, the Al-Anon family groups have no opinion on outside issues, hence our name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Does that mean that public controversy will not affect us? No, it doesn't. I know groups that have closed down because of controversy that happened with politics and with COVID. I left my home group because of COVID, because they didn't have a group conscience, they didn't have a vote, they didn't do anything. Some people in the group just decided that we weren't going to follow any guidelines for any safety of any kind when COVID hit, and my husband had just had open heart surgery. And I had to wear a mask. I had to be really careful. He couldn't go anywhere, but I could go, but I had to be really careful, and they weren't going to be careful. And I said, but we got to be careful. And they said, you're bringing politics into this group. And I said, what are you talking about? My husband just had open heart surgery. I'm bringing health into this group. I'm bringing a safety issue into this group, you know. And they said, well, health issues are an outside issue. And I said, we spray for roaches. That's a health issue, you know. We don't want to drink bad water. If the sewage backs up, we don't meet, you know. Those are health issues. Whew, it was bad. It was bad. So anyway, outside issues can affect us. But, you know, it depends on each group how much we allow those outside issues to affect us. And a lot of groups have been challenged the last 3 or 4 years on how much do we allow outside issues to affect us. I was telling somebody earlier, my recovery life, the way I walk it, has really been challenged. Do I really mean what I say? Do I really believe what our literature says? Am I really a servant of God? Am I really to love everybody? You see what I'm saying? The values and stuff that I always said I believed in recovery have really come to life for me the last 3 or 4 years. And I hate that everything's happened the way it has, but I'm glad I've been challenged. I am glad I've been challenged because I know the woman I am today. And I am a recovery woman. There's no doubt in my mind. I am a recovery woman. Some questions to ask for this tradition. Can I agree to disagree? How can I minimize harm when discussing a controversy? Can I say what I mean what I say, and not be mean when I say it? Do I nurse resentments? Do I choose my battles carefully? Do I want to be right, or do I want to be happy? When I first came to Al-Anon, I wanted to be right. Then I wanted to be right and happy. Do I pause? Do I take time to pause? A principle of Tradition 10 is tolerance. Tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. We need guard with special care the anonymity of AA members. And I will tell you, that's hard when you're Al-Anon, because you got to be careful sometimes. Because if the loved ones you have don't want people to know they're in recovery, and you're at a meeting, and you got an issue with this loved one, how do you talk about it? You see what I'm saying? Sometimes it can be tricky as a family member. We can figure out how to do it, but it can be tricky. All right, in Lois Remembers, page 194, Lois Wilson, Bill Wilson's wife, said, quote, on the other hand, there seems to be a trend in certain areas toward an excess of anonymity, even within the fellowships. Al-Anon's 11th tradition states, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. Nothing is said about maintaining anonymity within our group, our family, and our circle of friends. You know, that's who's on my Facebook. It's my circle of friends. It ain't the world, okay? Let us not mistake anonymity. This is still Lois. Let us not mistake anonymity for secrecy. The degree of anonymity we practice is a personal matter. Most of us, I believe, do not wish to be anonymous within our own fellowships. Anonymity here hinders our ability to help our fellow members. Also, if AA and Al-Anon groups don't let the public know of our presence, perhaps by announcing the time and place of meetings, etc., we block ourselves off from those in need. The stigma of alcoholism is still strong, and this was written in the late 50s, early 60s. I believe it to be one of the responsibilities of our fellowship to try and remove this stigma. To act as if AA and Al-Anon were secret societies only increases the idea of shame. If we sincerely believe alcoholism to be an illness, just as diabetes is an illness, we can more easily convince others and break down their resistance to the admission of having the disease or of living with one who has it. How can we blame the public for its belief that alcoholism is a moral weakness if we seem to believe it ourselves? Alcoholism is growing at a tremendous rate, and we AA and Al-Anon members want to do all we can to aid the recovery of alcoholics and their families. I'll tell a quick story about this. This lady, it's probably been 6 or 7 years ago now, she heard a tape that I spoke, and she wanted to ask me a question, and she tried to find me, and she had a very difficult time finding me. It took her several months to find me. So she ended up talking to somebody, and she heard me in my tape mention, at that time I lived in Dothan. She heard me say Dothan. She didn't know what state. So she tracked down states that had the town Dothan and went from there. She finally ended up calling the World Service Organization in Virginia Beach, and they told her they didn't have anything to do with speakers. But she had tracked down, I think, two states that had by this time, that had a Dothan. So they did give her the name of the delegate for both of those states. So when she called the delegate for Alabama, that person just happened to know me. And so she said, it's a speaker named Angie. And she mentioned Dothan. And the delegate said, well, I know her. So the delegate called me then to ask me, was it okay for her to give this lady my phone number? Now, of course, I said yes, and the lady called me. So that's when I started giving my last name at the end of my talk. I said, I'm not going to have anybody that's wanting help that can't find me. Okay, since then, several years later, somebody called me one day and they said, I was going to Atlanta in my car and I listened to you on such and such a podcast. And I said, what? I listened to you on such and such a podcast. I said, I've never been on a podcast in my life. She said, well, they got your tapes on there and they're playing them. Well, see, it says my name. And that's in the public domain. So then I had to make another decision. What was I going to do about that? Well, there's nothing that any of us speakers can do about what people do with our stuff. We don't own any rights to it. My family thinks I get money from it. They want a cut of it. But we don't make any money. We get mileage. We get a good meal, okay? And we get a place to sleep. That's all. We don't make money on any of this. But I decided I was going to keep saying my last name because I have no control over what happens with my words. But I do it because if somebody in recovery wants to contact me and ask me a question or want help, I want to be there. So that has outweighed wherever I happen to pop up and my name is on there. Some questions to ask. Do I discount the message if I don't like the messenger? What does humility mean to me? Do my relationship have spiritual foundations? How would others describe me? We did that one time in my Al-Anon group. We put each of our names at the top of a piece of paper. And then we passed it around the room, and everybody wrote words that described us. And then it came back to us, and we have this paper with a list of words from our group that describe us. What would that list say about you? All right. And that's the end of Tradition 12. And a principle for Tradition 12 is selfless service. We have some great tradition information in Al-Anon. We have some great books that do it. We have a workbook called Reaching for Personal Freedom that has a section about traditions that's really good. And I appreciate this opportunity to be able to talk a little bit about it. Thank you.